Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 27 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. This is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. Cue the age joke.
Yeah, you know what? Podcasts. I mean, I don't have one because I don't think anything happens when you're 27. Do you remember anything about when you were 27 years old?
No. Okay. I'm not even sure that I ever was 27.
Yeah, and you can't prove it either, no, right? No. So okay. The only thing I know for sure is that I had a little bit more hair.
Yeah,
I know that for sure.
A little.
Yeah, you know. What are we talking about today?
Yes, today we are here to talk about you versus the competition and overcoming objections. I think that this is one of the big things that is spoken about if you sell equipment. People ask about it on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook page.
All the time.
Yeah, on that group, people always ask about it. People talk about it with us when buying supplies. It is just something that is a challenge for any business owner.
Right. And I think especially for people that are in our audience that might be, you know, relatively new or brand new custom apparel startups pros. Mm-hmm. You know, they just went into business, so they didn't spend their life in sales, you know, and marketing and realize that everybody goes through this. Every business has, you know, the guy down the street that'll sell it for cheaper. Every business has the people that say bad things about your business so they get the sale.
Yeah, and you don't have to be, I mean, first and foremost, in regards to the competition, you never have to be the fastest, the cheapest, the best,
yes,
the most diverse. You don't have to be all of those things.
Right.
Okay, so you need to, you find the things that are right for you and your business, and that's the market that you have to sell to.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to know what you're good at. But first I want to talk a little bit about some of the folks that I've talked to from the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group about that idea that, you know, I can't make any money because I can't sell it cheaply enough. You know, I can't make any money because, you know, the guy down the street honestly, it's always price. Yeah. It's always price, what everybody says. So, you know, really the question is the competition, is it real or is it perceived?
Yeah, and the interesting thing about this is that there are really successful apparel decorating businesses and people that at Coleman & Company we speak to on a daily basis.
A lot
that, you know, and they have the mindset in regard, if you're talking about pricing, where they just say, you know, honey, I would not sell it for that price.
Right.
You know
what I mean? That happens all the time. That was a great impersonation, by the way.
Thank
I really
you.
Like that.
Honey, I would not sell it for that price. And because we had one customer come in and we had talked about, well, how much do you sell this shirt for?
Yeah.
There's a customer talking about that they could buy that or they had competition that would sell it for say $9.
Yeah.
And she's like, I wouldn't do it for under 18. And
yeah.
That's just, but it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I know, you know, so, and she had all of her reasons,
sure,
but that was a perfect example of just why that being the cheapest isn't always the answer and it doesn't always matter.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at every successful company in the world, not every one of them in the space is the cheapest. You know, like, for example, Toyota and Chevy, which one is the cheapest? You know, Walmart and Target, which one, mm-hmm, you know, has the cheapest whatever it is? Milk, which one's the cheapest?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those things, that price isn't always the determining factor. And what I meant by real or perceived is the difference between just, you know, let's say you're in the DTG business. You do custom printed shirts. And there's a screen printer down the street that advertises shirts for $7 if you buy 50 or more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that competition? I don't know. Did anyone ever come to you? Did any one of your customers come to you yet? Or, you know, are you talking to people that say, no, I'm going to go buy the screen printed shirts for $7?
Yes. So that's, it's a good point where when you see something, so I think what I'm getting from you is that you see something, whether it's an advertisement or a flyer or a shop sign or whatever it is, and red lights flash in your head and you say, oh no, competition, how am I going to stay in business with these prices that they're offering when, you might never run into it.
Yeah, you're assuming the competition. You know, let's use, you know, commercial embroidery machines, something that, you know, Cold Essie sells, the Avance brand. And there are probably 50 different manufacturers of embroidery machines that call themselves commercial, that say they're for business. And, you know, we run into maybe 3 or 4 or 5 max. You know, the rest of the people just don't really matter. And honestly, you know, whether or not they're cheaper, you know, it doesn't really matter either.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so true. And what you need to not do is try to put out fires before they start, you know, in a situation like that. So when you see this, when you see competition or an advertisement or you hear about something, it's not, the right move let me back that up. Sometimes the right move is to react, but it's not necessarily the right move. So you need to
stop and think about it.
Make sure that it's real. Make sure that it's a real threat to your business before you turn around and start being concerned of how you're going to make money or how are you going to sell them, how you're going to sell shirts for $7.
Right. So I think the main lesson from that, and we'll get into more details about, you know, dealing with lower price competition in a minute. The main thing that we do, and I know Coleman and Company does, is, you know, we don't try to be the cheapest, we just try to be what our customers need us to be.
Yeah.
You know, so what are the advantages, for example, you know, to doing business with you? Mark, let me ask you, what are the advantages? Because honestly, there's a lot of people that sell thread.
Yeah.
Right? There. I mean, you can go to a local sewing center and pick up embroidery supplies. What are the reasons that people do business with you?
Well, the reasons why people do business with us. So, for one, we want to be an approachable business. So we want you to be able to chat with us live online, to be able to attend webinars, to be able to just pick up the phone and call us, email us, have direct contact with a sales representative that can be, you know, your partner in business. So, you know, we make ourselves really available and approachable.
And that's a big deal, because how many people, raise your hands, I know I can't see you, but how many people have ever needed to just talk to someone on the phone about something?
Yeah.
And you go to the website and there's no phone number. You know, I mean, there's just no way to accomplish what you want to do.
And there's a lot of our competition that you can't reach over the phone. And people get upset, and we have on, say, software. Software is a big thing that it's hard to get people on the phone for.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the nature of that business in general, all across. And every once in a while, we'll get phone calls, and we'll talk to somebody, and they'll be like, I just want to be able to call this company and ask them a question. And I said, I agree. And you can call us all you want. And I agree with you. And that's what we do. I can't control what every other company does, though.
Right.
I can control what we do. So that's what we try to do. We try to make our prices as competitive as they can be,
while still
being able to maintain that. We can have nobody available on the phone and just have a shipping department.
Yeah.
And lower our prices.
Yeah.
But then we lose all of the support that our customers want from
us. Yeah, and you know, and that's really interesting. And we're gonna make you guys go through an exercise in just a minute. But that's one thing that we strive to do in all of our companies, is just be nice people that you can talk to, you know, and that is a huge advantage in the marketplace.
So you know, that's one reason that I would say is good for us. And then we've got a diversity of products that we offer, you know, so we try not to be just a one trick pony type of company. We've got a nice diverse thing because our customers are diverse companies.
Right.
They're no longer just embroiderers or just screen printers, but these are, you know, apparel decorators.
Yeah, so you can buy rhinestones from Coleman & Company. You can get vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
You can get direct-to-garment printer ink.
And this is going somewhere, too. It's not just an advertisement.
We're not. It is an advertisement, but it's not just an advertisement.
Yeah, this is going somewhere. And then also, so we've got that. And then also, we are price competitive.
Right.
So we look at prices in the market, and we try to figure out what can we do to offer a better price here. Does that mean we need to manufacture more of something to bring the price down? Does it mean that that we should switch a brand, you know, of product that we sell or that we offer? Does it mean that we should start manufacturing this thing in-house?
Yeah, ourselves, the bobbins or something like that.
Yeah, so there's all of these things that we have to decide and figure out in order to get to be all of what we want to be. So
right.
We want to be approachable, we want to have a diverse group of products, and we want to be able to have, you know, price competition,
right.
With all within that. And that's, you know, part of what our philosophy is and how we move forward in business and help people. And when somebody talks to us about competition and all these things, that's what we have to go back to.
Yeah. You know, you're talking to us on the phone.
Yeah.
You're, you know, we've got all the stuff in inventory. I can deliver it to you this afternoon.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a story about that.
Okay.
Should
well,
I tell
you,
a story?
You can tell a story about
okay.
that. I like it. And you know, think about, while Mark is telling this great story.
Listen, then think.
Listen, then think.
Okay.
Right. Don't think about what you're going to say while you're listening. Consider how you can adapt what happened to Coleman & Company to your own business.
So, we sell... a vinyl cutting system, you know.
The cut and press system.
And we sell it comes with a cutter, and it comes with vinyl, and it comes with software, and it's a whole package deal. So we had somebody call us up, and they were asking a bunch of questions about vinyl t-shirts. They just said, well, do I need to have a heat press, and what does it mean, and how does it wash, and what does it, you know, all the things that you ask.
The education, right.
Figure it out. So we probably spent maybe 12 to 15 minutes on the phone,
yep.
Answering just a lot of questions. They were just batting them down, you know?
Right.
And
which I mean, I'm going to stop you here. 15 minutes on the phone for somebody at Coleman & Company, you can't imagine the call volume that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a significant investment of time.
Yeah, it's a good amount of time. But they had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And when we pick up the phone, we're there to help that customer. If it
right.
takes 60 seconds or 15 minutes or
yep.
whatever. So we answered all of these questions about it. And then she said, okay, well, I'm looking online right now, and I found this company, and they sell, I can get it, all of this for about $200 cheaper.
Right.
So, and we already had a special package price that we were giving with some bonuses and stuff for like an end of the year special. So we were kind of at the minimum where we could be. We couldn't drop our price anymore.
Right.
So we said, well, okay, and we looked at it. I said, well, bring it up. Let's ask her who it is. Let's bring it up. So we brought it up, and we saw. But then we started dissecting it down, and we said, well, ours comes with a whole training package out of the box. Theirs has
nothing.
Yeah,
the 55 minutes to your first T-shirt.
The 55 minutes to your first T-shirt. So it's an hour training on how to get started, and then a bunch of little stuff afterwards. Theirs came with none of that. It came with, you know, it said printed instructions.
Right.
You know, which who knows what that could possibly be. It's probably the user manual that came
for
from the manufacturer.
Yeah, right.
So, and then also, no chat, no phone number, no email address even. Just a contact us page with a form.
Okay.
So we said, well, you're on the phone with us now. We're answering all your questions. When you called, you didn't call in a specific sales line. You dialed the phone number that's in the biggest font on our page on the top.
Right.
So when we answer the phone, we don't know if it's going to be a support call or sales call or what.
Yeah.
We have no idea, but we're going to answer every single phone call. So when you have a question about it, for one, you're going to have less questions because you're getting instructions built for you through video and written and everything.
Yes.
There's a bunch on our website. There's webinars that we offer and we do and consistently do. And then you also can just call and ask, hey, I'm not quite sure I understand step four.
Right.
And we cannot afford to do that if we sold this package for $200 less.
Yeah.
You know, all of that costs,
you
know, the $200.
Yeah. The time and investment.
The time and the investment. And we come with sample pieces to test and it included tools. You know, there's a lot of little things that was hard to perceive. So she's like, you know, and she's kind of just, you know, you know,
right.
This is what the story being relayed to me.
Yeah.
I said, what's she saying? She was like, you know, and just kind of listening.
Yep.
And she said, okay, well, let me see, you know, let me see. And she thought about it, you know, and long story short, she purchased it from us.
Right.
And she just said, she's like, I need that. Yeah. I need to know, like, this is a business for me. This is real. I need to be able to know that this is going to be taken care of. Yeah. And that I'm going to be able to do this. And I just can't guarantee I'm ever going to be able to talk to anybody if I buy it at that other company.
Absolutely.
And so that's a story. And I think that goes down to kind of two things
okay.
for us to bring up that how it relates to your business that we're, you know, talking to you right now is you need to know why should somebody do business?
Yeah. With you, what are the best things about doing business with you and your company?
What do you think is, how should somebody answer that?
I mean, really it's so, I mean, the first thing, it may be you.
Mm-hmm.
You may be the biggest advantage to doing business. Like, I mean, honestly, there's a lot around what the story that Mark just said, but the biggest advantage to doing business with Coleman & Company is the people on the other end of the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's you. Maybe you think that people will be happier with their purchase because of something you did or the way that you act or you answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe that's it. Maybe it's the pieces and parts that you use, like higher quality blanks. You know, so maybe you've got something about that that you can say, well, you know, most company use the least expensive Gildan t-shirt that they can find to do their printing or do their embroidery or vinyl or whatever it is. But you know what? I decided that I was going to give my customers a better product. And it cost me a little bit more, cost you a little bit more, but I promise you're going to be happy in the end.
Yeah. The shirts, I'm sure that you've bought shirts from your competition that shrunk up pretty quick.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
How many of those shirts have lasted? You know, and not so.
Or they just get that kind of weird, like out of shape thing where the shoulder doesn't fit right anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a good point. So you talked about, you mentioned, just they get to deal with you.
Yeah,
they get you. So you know, my response to that, something like that, is I can't guarantee what my competition will do. I don't know them. They may be great. They may not be great. What I can guarantee is the actions that I take.
Yeah.
When I sell you garments, when I sell you shirts and hats, I know I'm going to put a lot of work into all of them. I'm going to know that if there's a mistake, I know I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
I know that I'm going to give you a fair price. I know that I'm going to deliver it on time. I know if I tell you it's going to be ready on Thursday, it is.
Yes.
And if it's not going to be ready on Thursday, I know I'm going to tell you way in advance to make sure that everything is going to be okay.
Yeah. And you may actually be, you know, your employees. You know, maybe somebody that works for you, for example. So at Cold Essie, you know, we get comments about our salespeople all the time. And someone will say, well, you know, honestly, like I talked to Don Copeland and he knows absolutely everything there is to know about DTG. You know, or I talked to Tracy and she is more excited about rhinestones than anyone I've ever talked to and has a lot of great customer stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may be that I talked to Sean in tech support and, you know, he knows what to do and he gets me back up and running very quickly. So it could be you and what you personally do, but that extends to, you know, if you have a company and you have employees, then it extends to them as well.
Yeah, the staff, the people that you surround yourself with.
Right.
So that's one thing you could always sell. You can sell about the quality of the product that you're going to offer.
Yeah, wait.
First of all,
I want everybody to pull out a piece of paper and a pen, unless you're driving. No, if you're driving.
Yeah.
Please do that anyway.
Okay. Yeah, please.
Pull out a piece of paper and a pen, and I want you to, while we're talking, to write down at least three great reasons to do business
mm-hmm.
with you.
Yeah, and if you're driving, you could use your windshield as like a whiteboard.
You could do that.
Yeah, that's a great.
Write
great.
It on your hand.
Yeah, that, all these things
whatever
are fine.
You need to do.
Yeah. But no, you should have a short, I think the point of all this is you should have a short list of four things tops that you can bat off right away if somebody says, why should I do business with you?
Yeah, so we talked about it being you or your employees. We talked about higher quality blanks, and that's actually a big deal, and you'll be surprised at how many customers and potential customers will relate to that.
Yeah, and you could talk about quality control.
Yeah.
That every single garment that leaves, you know, my shop, passes through two people's hands.
Yeah.
It passes through my hands, the owner's. Yeah. I make sure that every single hat looks good. If it's not good, if it doesn't meet the quality, we get rid of it.
Yeah.
And we make you a new one. If after you get it, maybe, you know, if one does slip through the cracks, you know, first I check it, then my business partner checks it, or I check it, and then my wife checks it, or my cousin, or whoever, whoever works with me.
Right.
My embroiderer does it, and then I do a quality control, then it goes to you. If one does slip through the cracks,
right,
and you know, something was done incorrectly, then we're going to replace that as well. You know, quality control is huge for us, so getting it to you right the first time, but then also how we're going to handle it afterwards if something happens to make a, you know, a mistake happens to fall through.
Which never happens.
Yeah.
But if it did.
if it did, we'll fix it. That's how sure we are that it's going to be good, is that I will, if you get a bad embroidered shirt, I am going to make you another one and hand deliver it to you as soon as I can.
I love that. And that brings up one of my favorite ones is that local feel to your company. I mean, you can buy a custom shirt from Cafe Press or Zazzle, and you can get it shipped pretty quickly, and it'll be pretty good quality. You know, so maybe the local support and service is your main angle. Maybe it's just like Mark said, says, you know what? I'm going to deliver these shirts myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go through them one by one when we're done. Is anyone else going to do that for you? I'm so concerned that you get the product right the first time and that you order the same thing from me next year that I'm going to deliver these myself and we're going to go through them every single time.
Yeah.
You know, or it's, hey, you know what? I mean, I'm doing this job for you, my local high school, because my kid goes to your school. You know, because we go to the same church. I live in your neighborhood. You're a local plumbing company. You need embroidered shirts. Why wouldn't you want to deal locally? My toilet's going to break one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you could use that kind of local service thing as one of your three or four.
Yeah, and then another is could actually be a financial benefit for the customer. Sometimes it is a financial benefit.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that you are the cheapest. Maybe for a particular product you are.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just a matter of you say, well, I do direct-to-garment printing.
Yep.
I don't do screen printing. It's different. We could talk about that, all of it, all day, and I could explain to you the intricacies of that.
Of why it's different.
You is,
right.
I don't charge any setup or art fees or color fees.
Right.
So what we could do is we can design your art however you want it, and there's no fee for any of that.
Yes.
Maybe that's what you sell. Maybe you do charge a setup fee. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm saying that maybe that's one of the things that you have as a reason for people to buy. I don't charge any setup fees.
Yeah, I like that. Or you know, on DTG again, maybe it's, I'm going to print you one and show you what it looks like before we print the other 50.
Yeah.
You know, which is a big advantage over screen printing. So maybe that's, you'll do a free preview sample.
Yeah, a free preview sample. You might say that for every 10 shirts you buy from me, you get a free embroidered hat.
Right.
You know,
which is a great sales technique too.
Yeah, whatever it is that you offer, if there is a financial benefit that you hand deliver it and there's no delivery charge or that, you know, there can be a financial benefit and talk about that if it's something that's good.
That's money related, right. So another one is, you know, maybe you have an excellent on-time record.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you actually keep track of that, like what is the percentage of missed shipments that Coleman & Company makes on average on a month?
So less than 0.1%.
Right.
Generally
so
speaking.
Coleman & Company is a big dog in the apparel decorating supply business. They ship out a lot of shipments. And it's not even a 1% error rate. So maybe that's you too. You know, maybe, you know, out of the last 50 orders that I made that I delivered to a customer, zero errors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe it's 100% of it was on time. You know, and you can have one of those little signs in your shop like they used to for the safety record. You know, 180 days with no injuries. You know, you could say, you know, hey, last 57 orders on time or early.
Yeah.
And maybe that's your, so with that one, it's great because not only did you say what you do and highlighted that, but you kind of made somebody say, huh, I wonder if the $9 shirt guy can say that.
Yeah.
You know?
And then it's also with all of that, there's, you know, building in the trust.
Yeah.
Of somebody.
Absolutely.
They've got to believe you. So, you know, you could talk about that as well. Maybe you could say, you could talk to any of my customers. And we've got a great track record.
If you're in a retail shop and you sell apparel to somebody in that same plaza, heck, give someone apparel in that same plaza and then send your customer next door.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? I mean, hey, I'll tell you what, just talk to one of my customers. I'll wait right here. You go next door and talk to Mary.
Yeah. It could be through testimonials, whether they're written or online, or on the phone. So that's the other thing is that, you could tout these things. So if you've got statistics that you can have the last 5,000 shirts that we made, there's two mistakes.
Yeah.
And all of that. So talk about that. Talk about the on time, how you deliver. There's all of these things these are all just examples.
Yeah. And you should pick three or four, like Mark said, and it doesn't have to be one of these. Think of your own. It could be, you have the prettiest wood floors in your shop. I don't know what you think of an advantage is. And it would be a bonus if you had a story for each.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, like Mark just had a story for, the service versus price, the availability versus price. So maybe with your orders, you could say, all of my orders are on time. The past 50, and as a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I had somebody, they ordered wrong. They ordered their shipment wrong, and they needed it 3 days before they said they did. And me and my crew, we stayed that night, and we delivered even that one on time. That's a great story.
Yeah.
People want to do business with that company.
Yeah. Definitely tell stories about the things that you have or why you chose to do them.
Yeah.
Because that's part of that trust that I built up is that if you've got a real story where you say, we don't charge any setup fees for the direct-to-garment printing, the reason why we started to do that and the philosophy behind it is that people wanted to do more in their artwork. They were wanting to add more colors. They were wanting to do more with it, but they kept having to stop and hold back to say, I need to keep it under four colors because I don't want to pay more fees.
Yeah, right.
And they had to stop. So with my business, I didn't want to do that. So I just decided of a philosophy of this is what we're going to do. I'm not going to charge for any colors, any artwork, any setup because I want my customers to be free to do anything. So when we build your t-shirt together, we're going to do anything you want.
Right. You're not going to have to settle.
Yeah, you're never going to have to settle. And that's the philosophy behind why I have a no setup fee policy.
Yep, I like that a lot.
So you have to, and then I think that reminded me of something when dealing with the competition beyond just the finding the 30 reasons.
Okay.
But I think that you need to find something that's unique about what you do and then get your customer to buy into that philosophy first. This way, when they do go to shop around, it makes it more of a challenge for them to get the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I mean by that is you're a direct-to-garment printer, say, for example, and you decide that what you're going to do is you're going to sell to this customer, and you're going to help them do some of the artwork.
Okay.
So build up 100 colors in the design.
Yes.
Build them a really cool piece of art.
Yeah.
Help them to get that. Say, hey, what if you did the letters in green?
Yeah. Or a graded green to black kind of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Do a gradient with a stroke outline. It'll look cool on the lettering. It'll make it pop out of the shirt. And this is what it could look like. Maybe you're doing a consultation and you've got Photoshop up and you're just banging the concept out quick with them. And that's going to look great. Now, they want that now.
Yes.
And if they're going to go to screen printing shops, somebody is going to have to sell them out of that idea.
Yeah, they're going to have to talk them down to two colors or something like that. Just to keep...
And it can work with anything. If you offer rhinestones and your competition doesn't, help to convince them that the lady shirt should have a rhinestone outline.
Absolutely.
Just be rhinestones.
Yeah.
If you offer a vinyl product as well with your embroidery, say, hey, listen, we can put in like some glitter lettering right here. It'll look fantastic. Now, because you're doing multiple things.
Yes. It's kind of a multi-technology. So if you have different ways of decorating a product, let's say it's Yeah, you do DTG and embroidery, or you do embroidery and dye sublimation, or you're doing vinyl and rhinestones, or whatever that combination is, the more variety that you can offer, the less competition you're going to have.
Yeah, and if you have something unique, like we sell neon rhine studs,
mm-hmm.
okay, and it's a more unique product.
They're very cool.
They're not really easy to find everywhere.
Yeah.
So if you have some of your competition out there that also does rhinestones, they might not know where to get that.
Yeah.
Their neon studs,
yes.
for example. They might not. You know that you have a little bit of a unique product. You're not the only person in the world who sells it, but you know it's new or unique.
Yeah.
Sell that to your customer. Now they want the neon yellow studs on the black shirt. They think it's a really cool idea. And if they do go to shop around, it's going to be harder for them.
You're highlighting your advantages.
Yeah, you're highlighting your advantages over your competition.
Yeah.
And it's harder for your competition to turn around and...
Oh, I can do that for $10 cheaper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's a matter of you want to show your customers the advantages that your business has by offering things that are as unique as they can be.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that's good. You know, we talked about kind of is the competition real or perceived? We went through some, you know, some exercises on finding the advantages to doing business with you. I think we should just go right after that lower priced competition idea, though.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's it. If I see on Facebook, we get people that say, "Oh, I can't make any money doing this because of the competition," and we've decided that it's probably real. Let's say there really is a shop opened up just next door,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they do something similar, not quite the same, but you can buy stuff cheap. So I think the first thing that you have to go through when you're faced with lower priced competition that you know is actually competition is to do what Mark did when they brought up that other company's websites on the cutter and look through everything that's actually included. So is the deal actually better? What is the deal, and is it actually better than what you're offering?
Yeah, so you have to look for you have to see is it like shopping for a car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you shop for a car, it might be that we have no dealer fee, you know, on the radio,
right.
ridiculous
yeah.
commercial. Well, I know you're making money.
Right.
You're selling cars to make money.
Right.
So I don't know what you're calling it.
It's going to be in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere.
You know, so a company might say that they're going to offer shirts for, say, $5.
Yeah.
You know, that's their concept is $5 shirts. Well, is there fees involved
right.
in addition to that?
Is there a $4 a shirt setup and delivery fee?
Yeah. Or is it just, does it cost, is there an initial $150 worth of fees just to print the first shirt?
Right. Or is it, you know, did they buy, you know, t-shirts directly from China for 50 cents a piece
mm-hmm.
and they're white irregular shirts, you know, that are see-through? Is it really cheaper?
Yeah, is it
is it a
there's
good
a
deal?
Difference
yeah, is it a better deal?
Yeah,
is it a better deal?
Is it a better deal because there's less expensive and then there's cheaper?
Yeah.
So is the product a subpar quality to yours?
Right.
You know, is one thing. And if that's the case, then if that's, you know, you have to find out if the customer is okay with that.
Right.
You can discuss that. So find out if that's the case. Find out if there's hidden fees involved in this.
Yep.
Find out, is there limitations to the product? So like we talked about before, if you've got 16 colors in this design,
yeah.
But their $5 t-shirts are only one color.
Right.
So if you want to do 16 colors, that $5 t-shirt is now a $14 t-shirt.
Which is right where you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you might have been at 12.
Yeah.
You know, so
right.
you might already be better and not even realize you're cheaper.
Yeah, maybe they charge a delivery fee to make up for the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they, maybe that price group is only available at, you know, for 14 or 30 days, you know, to get the job done.
Yeah.
So you can order today for this price, but, you know, we're not going to be able to deliver for 3.5 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, and it very well could be. I mean, it could be all of these things. You have to find out what the deal is behind that. And sometimes
yeah.
it might just be price shopping your competition to figure that out.
So highly recommend.
Yeah. So call them up, ask them, find out what the deal is, and just probe the questions in. What kind of shirt do you use?
Yeah, or have a friend call. I mean, some people are uncomfortable with that. You could even order a couple of shirts.
Yeah.
And here's what you may find. You may find that, you know what, it's a great shirt. They're delivering a great product, and it's a great price. But, man, the guy was so rude on the phone. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, he barely wanted to talk to me. He hung up really quickly. You know, he's just a jerk. And maybe that plays to your advantage. And you could say to a customer, yep, you know what, they're absolutely cheaper. Definitely. Have you talked to them yet?
Yeah.
You know?
And then you can say that in confidence as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, if they are a local shop with Google reviews or Yelp reviews, look that up.
Yeah.
And because, again, like, first, I say go for all the low-hanging fruit first. So if you hear about a lower price from one of your customers, hey, I can get this done for $5 a shirt cheaper.
Yeah.
So say it's okay to not answer them immediately most of the time.
Yeah.
You could say, okay, I'm getting ready to do something else right now. I have a meeting with a customer. Give me a bit. Can I call you tomorrow at 8 a.m.? Is that fine?
Yeah.
Do you have to make the decision before then?
Right.
You know, no. All right. I'll just call you tomorrow morning. And then go for all the low-hanging fruit first. So first, look up and find out, is that deal real?
Yeah.
Okay? So that's one thing to look at. Then you could look, are there any reviews online? Do they have bad reviews?
Yeah.
You know? You know, you can try to give them a call and see what the experience is like.
Right.
And so go through all of that first. And then this way, you know, when you talk to them, you'll see, is there any of this really easy stuff I was able to find that I can just combat it with?
Right.
And say, I'm familiar with them. Their Google reviews are terrible.
Right.
Look them up on Google.
Look
them up on Google.
Yeah.
So.
Now, you could also find out, you know, again, like Coleman & Company did, you could go down that. You know, when you talk to the customer, you could go down. So you could say to your customer the next morning, say, well, now when I talked to them, they were going to charge a $200 setup fee, and they were going to charge $16 for delivery, and it was going to take them 5 to 6 weeks for my order. Now, are those the same things that you got?
Yeah.
You know, or you could just put the question in their mind and say, now what we're talking about is, you know, a 512 color shirt. And, you know, we're talking about using this brand of high-end t-shirt, and we're talking about me doing the quality control myself, and we're talking about delivering it in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Are those all the same things? Did you talk to them about all the same things? You know, and just kind of put it back on them a little bit, you know, so maybe they'll think, okay, no, I didn't actually give them the graphic, so I don't know how much that's going
to
be.
Yeah, and I also recommend, in my thought, what I like to do is if you're honest with them about what you want and what you're willing to do, then most people will respond very well to that.
Yeah.
So what I mean specifically is say, I would like to earn your business.
Yeah.
I also want to maintain the quality and my three things I mentioned about my business. You know, I want to maintain those things for my business. I don't want to fall below that. But I might be able to work with you on this deal.
Okay.
Have you gotten a quote?
Right.
From them, a physical quote on paper with a bottom line number.
Yeah.
Okay, get that.
Yeah.
And I will be happy to look at it with you. Mm-hmm. And if I can do something different or better, I will. But what you need to do is for your own sake.
Yeah.
You got to get a quote. I'm going to prepare a quote for you with the price that we talked about.
Apples to apples, yeah.
Then you need to get one from them and compare it and see what's different.
Yeah.
Okay, and then if you're willing to share it with me, let's talk about it together.
Yeah.
And then go from there. But after all of these things, let's be real here.
You might still be more.
You might legitimately
be more. Is
that
okay? Is it possible to sell things for more than somebody else?
It is. And what else is possible is that person at that other shop might have great reviews.
Yeah.
They might.
They might be nice people.
They might be really nice people.
Right.
They might deliver.
You can hate them anyway, though, if you want to.
Yeah.
It's okay.
They might deliver for free.
Right.
They might use the same blank that you use.
Yeah.
They might use the same printer and embroidery machine that you use.
Yeah.
They are willing to, you know, they live in a much smaller house, you know,
Maybe they're working out of their house and you have a retail shop.
Yeah, and you have a retail shop. Maybe they just, you know, the with the size of sheer size of their business.
They may be huge.
Yeah, they may do a lot of volume, and it's okay for them to only make a couple of dollars a shirt.
Right.
Because they've got the process narrowed down over the 30 years that they've been in business, that they know they could be profitable here.
Yeah.
And they are willing to do that.
Yeah.
So that all that might be true. If that's the case, you might just have to bow out.
Yeah. You might just say, you know what? Yes, we are more. And, you know, I'm not sure why. Maybe they're just a really big company, or maybe they have lower costs. But, you know, you or I on the, and I are on the phone right now. We've talked about your job, and, you know, we're at $14 a shirt and they're at $12 a shirt. You know, honestly, if you don't think that doing business with us is worth that $2 a shirt, because that's all it is, it's $2 a shirt, then, you know, I wish you luck, and I hope we get the opportunity to try again next time.
Yeah, and be respectful about that. And then also, on the flip side of that, sometimes it's okay to match that lower price.
Yeah.
And or maybe you are a little bit higher priced in your market than you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, that's possible too. You know, all these things are possible. So it's not just an easy pie in the sky answer all the time.
It can
get complicated.
You know what we haven't done yet? Excuse me. I got a little frog in my throat.
Yeah, what do you need?
He tried to get away.
Do you want me
earlier?
I'll punch you in the neck.
No, we haven't pitched any of our other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the exact time to make sure that you've listened to Know Your Numbers Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Because you've got to project what that worth of the customer is going to be. Maybe they have a better idea that this customer isn't just a one-time deal, but they're going to order 4 times a year. And when you keep that in mind, it's a better deal. So they can charge them a little bit less, and you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, and if they already, they might know this. They might have done business with this customer before, and they know, listen, I can charge this customer a really low price. Why? Because they are no hassle. Their artwork is going to come to me clean.
Yeah.
And they're going
to... I never have to do anything else.
Right? It's going to be... They're very easy to work with. So, yeah, I don't mind that I only make, you know, say 20% versus 30% or whatever the numbers might be.
Right.
So you've got to figure that out. And I think know your numbers.
Yeah,
you've
absolutely. It's a big deal. I mean, that's the difference between in business and not in business.
Yeah, it really is.
So I've got a thing written down here, and I like to talk about it a lot, so I want to do that now.
Okay, let's do it.
It's the price to happy ratio.
Okay.
You know, what you'll find is that the people that beat you up on the most on price,
mm-hmm.
they'll spend the most time trying to, well, can I get free shipping? Can I get 10 cents off a shirt? You know, will you do this for free? Will you do that for free? They're going to get you down to the smallest possible deal that you're comfortable making, and they are going to be the biggest pain in the butt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're going to be the people that do that to you every time. They still think that they got ripped off. You know, so it's that price to happy ratio. It's the people that you introduce yourself, you say what you do, you say why you do it, you give those 3 or 4 reasons of doing business with me, and the customer says, damn it, you know what? I really want to buy shirts from you. And what's the price? And they say yes. Those customers are going to come back. They're going to talk about you more. The customer that tries to weasel you out of every penny, they're going to do that every time they need to order shirts all over town. So, you know, that's the walk away idea.
Yeah.
You know, like Mark said, you know, sometimes you've just got to say, yes, we are more. If you don't think it's worth it, I wish you luck. I hope you try me again.
Yeah. And I, you know, with things like that, well, we say, you know, if we happen to be a little bit more on something, you know, we try to be really honest about it and say, like, we have to charge that to be able to do what we do. And
right.
I think we do it awesome. And I think you're going to think we do it awesome. And I can guarantee
you should just buy from us.
Yeah. And we would love to earn your business.
Yeah.
But I can't, you know, I can't do shirts for $6.
Yeah. Now don't bring up your car payment.
Yeah.
You know, or your rent or anything like that. Don't do that. But that's true. You know, I just can't do it. You know?
Yeah. And sometimes you don't get that business. That's okay. But those really, like those hardcore hagglers, generally speaking, and this is everything I've ever sold.
Yes.
Ever.
Me too.
Is those are generally the folks that turn into the thorn on your side. and then you've got this thing burning in the back of your head that, like, your cognitive dissonance will not allow you to admit, but you're like, I'm making $100 to deal with this all the time.
It happens.
You know, and it's like, it's no longer worth the $100. Yeah. I don't want whatever I was going to spend that $100
so
on.
So feel free to fire a customer like that.
Yeah.
You know, because you'll make more money letting go of them. So, you know, having said all this, so let's say that you've done all these things. You've got your advantages and you made sure the competition was real and not just in your head because you saw an ad and you looked at the actual deal, you know, that they were offering, and it's really a great price and it's great competition, but you still can't get there, you know, to either earn that particular kind of customer or that particular kind of business. You've got to take a look at your business as a whole and say, are you selling to the right people or the right market?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take it back to the embroidery business. A lot of supply companies, you know, like ours, you know, we sell to commercial embroiderers, but we sell mostly to people like with one machine, two machines, four machines, five machines.
Mm-hmm.
If a clothing manufacturer that is running 500 heads wants to buy backing, that's not our customer.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just not us. We're not going to be able to compete on price. They're going to build a factory in Singapore to do it themselves, right? They're going to do all that stuff. If somebody wants, you know, something from Coldesi that we can't handle, you know, like if you want a DTG printer, if you want to be able to print 100 shirts an hour, you know, or 500 shirts an hour, or 1,000, 2,000 shirts a day, then the DTG printing might not be the right one for you. So we're just not going to be able to help. So that's a customer that's a good customer, good potential customer. They're going to spend money, but it's not our market. It's not our potential customer.
Yeah.
So you may get to the point where, you know, you're doing all the pricing that you can, but the niche isn't right.
Yeah, and sometimes you've got to change the concept of what you're selling.
Yeah.
So, for example, what I think of is, let's just say that you are starting to sell embroidered caps.
Okay.
And you want to charge $14. And you're finding out that everyone is charging in town is charging $12. That's kind of the market price.
Right.
Because there are market prices for things. It's you can have a grocery store that will sell $10 a gallon milk.
Mm-hmm.
But most people are just going to straight up say, I might buy other things. I'm just not going to buy it on price.
Right.
You know, you're just it's way out there. Right. So you might be higher than the market.
Yeah.
But that's where you want to be profitable. You say, I want to make this kind of money to do this.
Right.
I've made that decision. You've got to think about what can you do to make it different then.
Okay.
So you've got to, like I mentioned earlier about things, about making your product different than everybody else's.
Yeah.
So you got to think outside the box.
Right.
Of what, and I hate even saying that.
Think outside the box. Yeah. I'm actually drawing a box right now. And I'm making a little brain drawing outside of the box.
That's a terrible brain.
Well, you know.
But what I mean is we have a customer who only does patches on caps.
Okay.
So they make a patch.
Yeah.
They embroider it with our patch kit product.
Yeah.
And then they heat apply it to a hat.
Okay.
And they look really cool.
That's interesting.
And that's all they do.
We
don't embroider hats.
Right.
We used to embroider hats. We don't anymore. And I said, why? And he said, they sell like hotcakes. You know?
Like, right. It's a great product.
He's like, they look
cool. It's unique.
Yeah, it's unique. He said, nobody around it does it. We have to charge a little more because it's a little more work on these.
Right.
But people see them and their friends talk about it and
you know,
all these things. And he's like, we've got a great little niche market in our area and we sell this thing locally. So you've got to figure that out. Where maybe if you're selling your custom t-shirts with your DTG printer, you know, maybe you're the person in town that also offers canvas prints of these things as well.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, where other folks might not even be offering that.
Yeah. Now, you can also go, and what I was thinking is more of the niche market. So let's say you opened up your business specifically to do, because you thought doing embroidered caps, for example, for area baseball teams was it. You got it in with the Little League and the high school and things like that, and you're doing that, and then, you know, you find that those hats are selling for like $8, you know, because somebody's got a contract with Little League and they can get a better price and, you know, all of this stuff. So maybe you, you know, work with the local fishing supply store and you do nothing but fishing caps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you do more custom, maybe there's a, you know, you do corporate caps or you do patches on caps or, you know, you've gone in with the intent of serving this market and it's just not working profitably for you. So find one that you can, you know, a better one to hunt in.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's tons of them and the, and not all the things are just, it's not all going to be easy in the first place that you get to,
right.
Which is what happens with some folks is they think that the little league is going to be perfect for them. It ends up not being.
Yes.
Then they are like, oh, I've got another idea. And that one failed. Now all of a sudden, like, well, I'm just not going to
do this. They want to sell their embroidery machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, my motivational thing is like, don't give up yet. You're supposed to have failed those first two times.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to have. If it's like the same thing with being, if somebody's a salesperson or when you're selling, it's the same concept. It's like, you're going to talk to three people and you should expect those three people to tell you no.
Right.
You know, like that's part of the game. So when you're thinking of these niche markets, if the one you've got in the first place doesn't work out, that's perfectly fine because you're just like almost every other person who's ever opened any business ever.
Yeah.
So find another one. And then,
hey, I just want to say that I went to school for philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, that's enough said. But I love this idea of, you know, like, you know, you start in one market and it just, it doesn't work as well or it doesn't work profitably. Or maybe, you know, maybe you are doing those baseball caps for Little League and things like that, but you're not making enough money on it. That's the perfect time. You've got some income coming in to go and explore those other higher price markets.
Yeah.
So, for example, you know, we've got, a, you know, maybe you got a rhinestone machine. And there are people that do wholesale rhinestone transfers online. And that's all they do is make those transfers. You know, maybe you try that and you can't compete because it's easy to ship. It's a national business. So now you start making the shirts. Or maybe you can't get into the cheer market or the dance market that you wanted to. So, you know, try Baseball Mom. Mm-hmm. You know, try doing rhinestone decals that you can put on, you know, for bumper stickers.
Yeah, that's what was going through my head just when you had just said that, is that, is, you know, making custom stickers. You know, we have customers that only make embroidery patches. We have people that only make stickers. We have people that only do patches on caps.
We've got people that only do glitter and pro-spangle cheer ribbons.
Yeah, I mean, there
that's specific.
Yeah, there's really some great specific out there, and they keep it really busy. We have a customer that only makes bags, tote bags.
Yeah.
That's it. So if you don't have, if your problem is that you can't compete in the market that you're in, or you don't want to compete at those prices, if that's the real market price,
right,
which is what we've already determined,
right, you're gonna make sure that's true.
Yeah, then you start looking for other niches that you can get into, and you just
and make the money you want.
Yeah, never stop looking for that stuff.
Yeah,
they're there. They're definitely there, but you've got to keep looking for them.
You know what? I think we got kind of a slow start to this podcast. I mean, because it's 27 again, you know, no one knows what happens in 27. But we're ending up pretty good. I mean, almost 28. I think 28 is going to be a good year.
I was never 27. Did you know that?
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, I was 26.
And then you were 28? Or?
Yeah, no, I went to 30.
You went to 30.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Wow, like 10 minutes ago, I think I was about 27. So.
Yeah.
All right. So what have we talked about? We talked about you versus the competition, and whether or not it's real or perceived, right? We talked about finding the advantages to doing business with you and your company, and having a story for each one of those if you can. We talked about a lot of ways to deal with and address lower price competition,
mm-hmm.
which you should play that part over and over again if you have the idea that everyone sells cheaper than you. And we also recommended, you know, that you look at whether or not you're selling into the right market. You know, I know you got your embroidery machine because you want to do pillows and horse blankets,
mm-hmm.
you know, but maybe custom polos are the way to go.
Yeah.
You know, take a look at that, survey the market, try to find something that'll make you money.
And I think the homework to go home with, what you should do after this one, what I would have already done, you know, is if you don't have it already, pick the three reasons why somebody should do business with you if they just ask.
Yeah.
If somebody just says, oh, cool, you sell t-shirts, well, why should I buy from you?
Yeah, I can get them anywhere.
Yeah, give them three good reasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we didn't even tackle one thing.
Okay.
Maybe one of those reasons is because I'm the cheapest in town.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
That might be you.
Well, you know,
that might be you.
You know why I would never think of that? Because if I was the cheapest in town, I would immediately raise my prices. Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, that could be you. You know, so it's like, that is another successful business model that could be out there. But find the three reasons why they are. In my opinion, it shouldn't be because you're the cheapest in town unless you've got an awesome system to make that happen. You know, it should be because you're the best, you know, and tell these people what three things you're the best at and why it's going to be great for you to sell t-shirts that way. Or whatever it is, and you'll have a successful business, I think.
Yeah, I love this episode. Do me a favor and do Mark a favor and everybody out there, and share this podcast with people that you know. Anybody that's got a small business, they don't have to be in the custom t-shirt business. You know, download it, share it. You know, we're on iTunes. They can listen to it online. You can hit the little share button on the website. Send it over Facebook. The more people that listen to this, I think the more people that will do better in business.
Yeah. Great. Well, I feel good about today. I'm ready to move on to some new awesome things.
Yeah, me too. Listen, thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it.
Very good. This is Mark Vila with Coleman & Company.
And Mark Stevenson from Coldesi. You guys have a good business.